Niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tyaktva palam chaiva satyaga sattviko mataha. Translation. O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Text 10. Nadvestya kushalam karma kushale nanu shajjate tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna sangshaya. Translation. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Text 11. Nahi deha brita shakyam tyaktum karmanya sheshataha yastu karma pala tyagi sa tyagit yabidhiyate. Translation. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. Text 12. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividam karmana palam bhavat yat yaginam pritya natu sanyasinam kvachit. Translation. For one who is not renounced, the threefold of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. Text 13. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodame sankhye kritante proktani siddhaye sarvakarmanam. Translation. O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. Text 14. Adishtanam tata karta karanam cha pritag vidam vividas cha pritag cheshta daivam chatvaitar pat. Translation. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul, these are the five factors of action. Text 15. Shariravan manobhiryat karma prarabhate naraha nyayam va viparitam va panchaite tasya hetavaha. Translation. Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors. And text 16. Tatraiva sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuyaha pashyat yakrita budhitvan nasa pashyati durmatihi. Translation. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Going back to text 6. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty. O son of Pritha, that is my final opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said that any activity which leads to devotional service to the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest criterion of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord. We're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada is so kindly explaining these verses for us. Otherwise, there is no doubt we would be completely bewildered and not knowing what to do and how to apply these verses. Because although Lord Krishna is speaking very simply and very perfectly, still it requires that the hearer must be in tune in the right consciousness. And since we are not coming from that position of being in the right consciousness and being purified, we will certainly misunderstand Krishna's words. But fortunately, the spiritual master has intervened between us and Krishna, and he's explaining. So the last line of this purport explains very clearly. And this is a guiding principle in work for devotees, that a devotee should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord. So that is the criterion that a devotee works on. Nothing is good, nothing is bad. Nothing is desirable, nothing is undesirable. Except in relationship with Krishna. In other words, to consider that this type of work is what I like and I will do, but what if it's not favorable for my devotional service? Well, then it should be renounced. However, if one performs some work, there are different levels also. One may be on a very high level and one may be on a lower level. But still, both can make advancement in spiritual life by activities. One who's on a lower level, he's acting according to his bodily inclination. But then, in that case, he should do that and give the fruits to Krishna. But someone who's on a higher level, he doesn't necessarily have to act according to his natural inclination. He can act according to a higher principle, namely that which is pleasing to Krishna. It's like we were hearing about one story from the Puranas. And the story goes that Maharaj Janaka Maharaj, great devotee of Lord Ramachandra and the father of Sita, he gave up his body in yoga practice. And he was on his way back to the spiritual world, but he was taken near to the hellish planets. And as he was there, the fragrance, the air that passed by his body was going to the those persons who were suffering in hell. And they felt great pleasure just by receiving the air that passed by his body. He was so pure. And they were praying to him that kindly stay here and save us. Just by your presence, we're getting relief. Otherwise, we're suffering unbearable hell. And he was standing not in hell, but near the front gate. So finally, Yamaraj came there and said, "Oh, my dear Maharaj Janaka, you shouldn't be here. This is for people who have to suffer, not like you. You're such a saintly person. You should go back to the spiritual world and leave these people here." And Janaka, out of great compassion, he said, "Well, these people who are suffering in hell here, they requested me to stay because they said the air passing by my body, just by my being here, they're getting some relief." And he said, "Yes, after they suffer the consequences of their sinful activities, and he describes some of their sinful activities, they never hear about the Lord, and they engage in all kinds of sinful activities. And he mentioned, you know, having sex with one's friend, trusted friend, stealing, being untruthful, not receiving proper guests, so many different things. He said, so they have to suffer tremendously for this. And Janaka Maharaj was very concerned. He said, but isn't there some way they could be relieved more soon? Because otherwise that will take hundreds of years. And he said, well, normally no, but because you're such a great personality, if you give them, if you bestow upon them some of the benefit of your devotional service, because ultimately that's what it takes. You have to be willing to make some sacrifice. It's like Vasudev Datta. He was willing to stay in the material world as long as it would take to free all the living entities, all the sinful conditioned souls. He said, let them go back to Godhead. I'll take the responsibility for all their sinful reactions. I'll stay here until they're all finished. So, anyway, Janaka Maharaj, Yamaraj said, if you just give them the benefit of the day, one day you're chanting Rama Rama, if you give them the benefit of that. And so he said, all right. And they all immediately were relieved, and they went back to the spiritual world, and they were all praising Maharaj Janaka. So, there's different levels of devotional service, and one who's on the highest platform. Normally, no one would want to stay in the hellish region even, not even to go there for a minute, what to speak of staying there for longer. But he did that to save them, and he gave them some of the benefits of his own devotional service. So we'll go on to text 7. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Now, the question is, what are our prescribed duties? Well, it depends on what level you're on. For a person who wants to be a pious man, then he follows the Varnashram system, and he has duties according to that. Sometimes Krishna would instruct Arjuna on that basis, that you're a Kshatriya, you're a householder. How can you give up your duty of fighting? For one who is a Kshatriya, there's no question of leaving the battlefield. Sometimes he would speak in that way. And then other times he would speak, give up all other duties and just do what I say. Just surrender to me. Sarva dharman paricaja, mame kam sharanam braja. But that instruction is considered to be the final instruction, the top instruction. And if we can follow that, then we have no other duties to perform. Just to follow what Krishna says is sufficient. That's why he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parijaja. You can give up all other duties. Sarva dharman parijaja mame kam sharanam braja. And just surrender to me, and I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Because there may be some reactions for being neglectful in taking care of ordinary dealings. Or even if one is neglectful of taking care of duties to the demigods. It's like in the case of Indra, we were speaking about this morning. Indra does supply water. He was supplying water to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and they neglected to offer their yajna to him. So wasn't that sinful? Wasn't that disrespectful? Don't they have to suffer for that? Well, they did have to suffer. And they took the suffering. Indra showered torrents of rain and practically tried to destroy the whole village of Vrindavan. But Krishna said, I will protect you from all those sinful reactions. So the so-called sin that they performed by not doing their yajna to Indra, Krishna protected them from that. In other words, according to mundane calculation, or at least according to Indra's calculation, they were neglectful. They had been deceitful. They had taken water without giving back the yajna. But because Krishna ultimately is the controller of everyone, and he's the owner of everything, Bhoktaram Yogatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, ultimately, if one just surrenders to him, he can never be doing anything wrong. Because Krishna is above everyone. And anyone who's below Krishna would have to agree that, well, this person's serving Krishna. He's serving my Lord. He's serving the Supreme. Therefore, he must be doing everything perfectly. I'm not supposed to chastise him because he's doing nicely. Text number 8. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. So depending on what level one is on, he has different types of prescribed duties. And what may be suitable for one person is not necessarily suitable for someone else. For example, for a Brahmana, he is not interested in fighting, and if someone offers to fight with him, he'll politely decline. Say, no, thank you, I'm not interested. But a Kshatriya, in performing his duty, if there's some challenge, he must take up the challenge. Therefore, there's different responsibilities. Then, for a devotee can act in any way. Because look at the situation. In the case of Maharaj, the king who was attacked by Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj. So he was attacked, but he didn't fight back. Of course, he was attacked by a Brahmana, and therefore he didn't think that it was suitable. But even that Brahmana wasn't acting properly. Whereas in the case of Ashwatthama, they were fighting against Ashwatthama, they were fighting against Dronacharya, and he was also a Brahmana. Because that was under Krishna's instruction. A devotee then will act only under Krishna's instruction. And in the case of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna told Arjuna to fight against Ashwatthama and Dronacharya. But in the case of Ambarish Maharaj, he wasn't given such an instruction to fight. Therefore, he preferred not to fight and to just tolerate. Therefore, even though he was a Kshatriya, he acted on the platform of... He was doing what Arjuna wanted to do. Arjuna wanted to stand with not without arms and just... He said, let them kill me unarmed and undefending. So Arjuna, he heard the story of Ambarish Maharaj. He was thinking, well, this is what I want to do. I want to just stand here and let whatever happens, happen. But Krishna said, no, don't do that. Take up your arms. Tasmad yujyasvabharata. Yes. Therefore, in this age, Lord Chaitanya said that better to remain in your position and add Krishna consciousness. Whatever that position may be, you can add Krishna consciousness. And because if one tries to suddenly introduce the Varnashram system, as Dr. Richard pointed out, it's not understood, it's not accepted. But there is another principle, and that is that just add Krishna consciousness and accept whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service. For example, let's say someone has a family, wife, several children. So for that person, it may be the most favorable to continue in his occupation to make his family Krishna conscious. That may be the best situation. Otherwise, it may be very chaotic if, for example, especially if he tries to become a sannyasi, if he tries to renounce everything in that premature state, most likely he's not ready for sannyas. To be a sannyasi requires quite a bit of training and preparation. So he's already in the mode of householder. So let him continue, but add Krishna to that household situation. Let his family all become devotees. It's not so difficult. A man can do that if he's fortunate and if his wife is cooperative. So if she cooperates, then he can make the whole family Krishna conscious. Introduce chanting, introduce deity worship, introduce prasadam. Children, they'll go along. They like Krishna consciousness. They don't have any objections to... It's like they in Athens on Sunday. In Greece, we had a Sunday program. So one lady, she brought her son. And he was normally a very troublesome boy, she said. He has problems with so many things. But they were dancing, and he was dancing and singing and taking prasadam, and he had a good time. Although normally he was troublesome, but in that atmosphere, it was very nice. So in other words, that person doesn't have to try to become a sannyasi, and he doesn't have to go back and try to be a brahmachari. That might be artificial also for him. But he's in the family life, so let him take Krishna conscious training, how to make his family situation Krishna conscious, and even his occupation. For the time being, he can remain in his occupation, and if his occupation is favorable for devotional service, then he can continue. He can learn how to adapt it to make it transcendental. If it's some kind of an occupation which is so opposite to his devotional service and so unfavorable, then he can change. There's no harm in that. People change occupation. Let's say he's working as a butcher, for example. So it's a very difficult occupation to dovetail in devotional service. It's very difficult. So better... there's some other occupation he can earn a living. He doesn't have to just... It's not that the only thing he can do is to slaughter animals. There's other things he can do, which will also be able to earn him a living. Does everyone agree with that? Okay. So that's the point. And let's say someone's a student. He's going to school. But what is he learning? He's learning nonsense. So why not go to a transcendental school and learn transcendental knowledge? The principle of learning is the same. He's young, he's single, he's preparing himself for his future, so why not prepare for the eternal future? That's why Brahmachari Ashram is there. Now, just like today, they have their student life, but unfortunately it's not Brahmachari student life. It's some mixed up, confused, bewildered animal type of youth. They're not teaching them how to be proper human beings in the student life. They're teaching them how to behave like animals. So, all we have to do is take these students, as Prabhupada did, and turn them into nice brahmacharis, and then everything is proper. And then that brahmachari is not just impersonal brahmachari, but it's a bhakta. It's a devotee of Krishna. So, to answer the question, one must follow Krishna's instructions, and that means one has to accept a spiritual master, because the spiritual master will act as Krishna's power of attorney. The spiritual master, as the teacher, will guide the students, whether they're in brahmacharis or grihasthas, or whatever women, or whatever situation they're in, the representative of Krishna will guide them in how to perform devotional service which will be favorable for serving the Lord. Okay, continuing, text 10. The intelligent renouncer, situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. No doubts because everything he does is for pleasing Krishna. So there's no question of what's auspicious or inauspicious. For a devotee, what's inauspicious? They say, well, going to the hellish planets, like Janaka Maharaj. But he didn't consider it inauspicious because he had some service there. Otherwise, he was just going to pass by and go. But as soon as he found out that he could do some service by standing there or by giving his mercy, then he did that. What normally would be inauspicious, going to hell, generally we consider that's a curse for someone. We say, go to hell, that's a curse. But for him, it was a blessing because he got to do some service. Nanayana paras sarve nukutaschana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apitul yakta darshana. Text 11. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. So what does it mean, the fruits of action? Let's say someone is working and he's making money. So how does one give up the fruits of action? He gives the money to Krishna. By giving the money to Krishna, he's giving up the fruits. He's saying, Krishna, I did this work, and I got these results, these fruits, and now I'm giving them to you. And that takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith, that I'm giving to Krishna, but what's going to happen to me? Better I keep it for myself, and I don't give anything. That's why charity is considered a very, it's an honorable thing. We see, even in ordinary society, if someone is very charitable, he's honored, he's respected. Someone who gives charity. What to speak of one who gives charity to the Supreme Lord? He's even more glorious. Or, not only money, what if one is going to speak? So what are the fruits of one speaking? The fruit of speaking should be to speak about transcendental knowledge. Therefore, when he speaks, he should only speak about the absolute truth. And when he eats, what is the fruit of eating? The fruit of eating is to eat prasadam. He should only eat food that has been offered to Krishna. And everything he does, tat karushva madarpanam, Krishna says, offer it to me. Do you have the power to visit? Can you go there? Yes, if you have the opportunity to go and visit Yamaraj and get his association, he's one of the Mahajans, you can do that. But right now, we're stuck here. We're not able to be going different places. And we've got enough hellish conditions here to keep us busy for the rest of this life. And we can assist Yamaraj by trying to change all these sinful characters and make them pious and make them devotees. Then they don't have to go and cause Yamaraj so much trouble. He has to give them punishments. It's a troublesome thing. He has to maintain this big hellish establishment. And the suffering he described, he said, well, this one we have to roast. He has to roast for 100 years, and then we have to put him in the body of a pig because of his sinful activities, and this one has to go through this type of suffering. It's an ordeal for him. So if we can preach and make them devotees here, then that will be a great service to Yamaraj. Okay, text 12. For one who has not renounced the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. Yes, because a devotee is automatically giving all the results to Krishna, there's no more results left over. There's nothing left for him to enjoy or suffer. He's already given it all away. It's like I think you understand the point. He's already passing on everything to Krishna. There's no, or to put it another way, if, let's say, someone brings in some bills and some payments, and you're the secretary. So what do you do? You don't start paying them and all the money comes in, you start taking it. You give it all to the director, and he pays the bills and he takes the money. He does both of them. You're not responsible for either one. And that's the way a devotee works. He gives everything to Krishna, so there's nothing left for him to have to suffer or enjoy. He's free. He's not acting on the material plane. Then, 13. O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are 5 causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the supersoul. These are the 5 factors of action, purport. The word adhishtanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as karta, the doer. Okay, karta is the doer. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Shruti, Eshahi Drashta Shrashta, Prashna Upanishad 4:9. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Gyota Eva 2:3:18 and Karta Shastrarta Vatvat 2:3:33. The instruments of action are the senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action, there is a different endeavor. But all one's activities depend on the will of the Supersoul, who is seated within the heart as a friend. The Supreme Soul is the super cause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their actions. Everything is dependent on the Supreme Will, the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, so those who are not acting in Krishna consciousness, they are a type of doer, as described here, karta, and gyo. Gya means they're the knower and the doer. That means they're not ultimately independently the doer, but they have made decisions which now are going to be affected, and they are responsible for them. Because of their desire, now certain things are going to happen. Like, for example, let's say he sees a man and he thinks, I'm going to kill that man. So what happens? By his meditation, that strong thought pattern, and he starts to think about it, then he wills it, and then he acts on it. And how does he act on it? Material nature assists him, gives him a nice gun. Cool. gives him the gun to execute that will, that desire. It started with a desire, it became a will, and then he executed it by the help of material nature. Ultimately, material nature allowed it to happen, but it wasn't material nature's fault, it was his fault, because his desire. He wanted it so badly, now he has to pay the consequence. He's the one that will suffer. So in one sense, he is the doer. But in another philosophical sense, he's not the doer because it's carried out by material nature. And ultimately, you could say the real doer is Krishna or God, because not even a blade of grass can move without his will. But it doesn't mean that God is responsible for the murder that this man committed. Text 15. Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these factors. And therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Any questions? But that's not Allah consciousness. They think it's Allah consciousness, but they don't know. Allah is not interested in blowing up. What does Allah gain by blowing up World Trade Centers? It's like there were some devotees who thought they were going to serve Prabhupada by blowing up some slaughterhouses. But Prabhupada didn't accept it. He said, no, that's not our program. So our program is not blowing up slaughterhouses or blowing up World Trade Centers. In this age, the process is to chant Hare Krishna and to get people to chant. So if they were really Allah conscious, they would be going around holding big Hari Nam or Ali Nam, Allah Nam programs and chanting and having big festivals. Not killing people, but chanting. That's the process for this age. In another age, even still, that's not the process. Blowing up trade centers is not the process in any age. But there is the duty of Kshatriyas, and they will enforce the laws of the divine. But their way of enforcing is also very nice. It's not just whimsical. It's like Yudhisthira Maharaj. He was told, but look how many chances he gave Duryodhana. He gave so much advice, and everyone was given an even before the battle began, and it was a fair battle too. It wasn't just killing them in their sleep or something. But even before the battle began, he said, "All right, still I'm willing to give it up. Still, we won't fight. You just make some compromise, or anyone can come to this side." So he made different. A Krishna conscious Kshatriya also doesn't act in a very vicious way. It's complex, but ultimately nothing happens without God's sanction. That doesn't mean he's responsible for the misbehavior, but ultimately he allows it, as you said, because there are some who need to be destroyed. This may be hard for people to accept that God could allow such horrible things. But so many horrible things are being done, there has to be some reactions. And so those reactions are being given also. Just like some people, they don't believe in hell anymore. Actually, a lot of people. Formerly, when you went to church, they told you about hell and everyone believed in hell. And they said, yeah, we have to be good because we don't want to go to hell. And they believed that God was good, and even his having hell was part of his goodness. But now they don't believe it's part of his goodness anymore. They can't even imagine how that getting that kind of suffering could be good. So they remove that part. Say, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in hell. How can you be a Christian and not believe in hell? That means you don't believe in heaven either. I only believe in the heaven part, not the hell part. No. If you're a good follower, you can't say, I believe in the spiritual. It's like nowadays, there are some devotees also. They're thinking, I like the spiritual world part, but I don't like this material. You know, I don't like all the suffering, the hellish planets. I don't like all this. No. It's all part of Krishna's plan. It's all part of God's plan. There's a very complete story that could be told about each person who suffers. Why he's suffering. It's not by accident. It's not just the World Trade Center. What about a car accident? That's a horrible death. Someone gets smashed in a car, burned up. What about that? It doesn't take, we don't have to have 3,000 at once. What about just a car accident? Or what about being in the womb of your dear mother who's, you know, sending down this nice poisonous solution for you to burn up in? How about that for hellish punishments? What about that? They don't think about that. No, that child is receiving that. It seems very, it's a horrible thing to happen to him. It is horrible. It's horrible for his mother to do that. So now, the horribleness of that crime will cause a future horrible crime to her and to all those involved in that. That's the punishment. That's the system he set up. Just like, you know, we've told the story about the teacher who has the students pull each other's ears. They're both bad students. They're both creating disturbances. So he asks them, all right, pull each other's ears, and they start pulling. But it's good because then two things are done at once at the same time. The teacher doesn't have to get involved. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.